Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. We welcome you to another portion of service with Kingdom of God Ministries. And we thank you for listening in on this evening. We have a program for you tonight, The Desperate Get Delivered. We're going to deal with that a little bit and people getting set free from all type of bondages. You have to remember, people of the Most High God, when you're desperate, you'll do whatever it takes to get set free. You won't be deterred. You won't be turned away because you have no other way to get set free because you're desperate. You're in a dire strait. So you need some deliverance. And the only way you can get this deliverance, the only way you can get healed, the only way you can get set free, the only way you can get saved, the only way you can get filled is in the presence of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But there's a type of desperation that you must have to receive it. You can't let nothing stop you from getting what you need from the Lord. Because there's a lot of hindrances out there. But you can't be hindered to the point where you let the enemy cheat you, deceive you, and destroy you. That's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. But before we go any further, we're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask, Lord, that you touch the body, soul, and spirit of every listener out there. We come against any spirit that would hinder the word of God. Father God, we ask right now that you touch the mind, that they would receive the sincere gospel, the word of God, in their mind and in their hearts. Father God, we lift those up that are desperate, and Father, we ask that you come into that situation. Lift them up, Father God. Deliver them and set them free. We come against every foul spirit that would bind up God's people. We speak to the spirit right now. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask right now that you open the ears, Father, and give the people understanding, knowledge, Lord. Even revelation of your word, Father, that they may flow in the things of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. At this point, we're going to go directly into the program. We're going to go directly into the word, and here it is right here.
Praise the Lord, and we're just so delighted to be here today, and we've already opened up with prayer, and right now we just want to honor Pastor Overton for inviting us to be with you today, and we right now we just lift the ministry up to you, to God, and we ask that God lift this brother up in prayer, and we ask God that everyone that is affiliated with Fellowship of Deliverance, that his power be with them and bless him, Lord God, because he is truly a man of God, and we are honored to be with him. We are honored that he even looked down upon us to say we want to fellowship with you, and we find that a great honor. Amen. And right now today we will be coming to you. We will be, and let me know if you can hear me fine, but the message today is the desperate get delivered. And you may say, well, how did that come about? Because dealing in the deliverance ministry, we have some cases now. And I find that a lot of times when you tell people what they need to get deliverance, they come to you with what they think they need to do. And I asked God, I said, Lord, what do we need to do to get this to your people? Because we see them burdened down. We see them broken down. We see nothing has happened in your, quote, big local churches. So they come into us. So we get, I don't want to say, they filter out and they come to us because they can't get deliverance where they're attending churches. So they'll come to us by night, or we'll get home and we'll get some on our phone message. Could you call me? Well, some of them even say they want to be anonymous, you know, but I just want deliverance, but I want to remain anonymous. And I say, well, God, okay, so what do we need to do? And God said, well, I want you to just teach my people how to be desperate for their deliverance and how they will receive their deliverance. We all been there. We've all been in situations in our life where we feel like it's a desperate situation, and if I don't get help right away, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, this is how it is. When somebody is bound down, broke down, oppressed, depressed, possessed by the devil, they're in a desperate situation. So what they're saying is, Lord, I need some help. Who can I go to? Who can I go to get some help? And so God, he'll have deliverance ministers. He'll have them, some of them even, they'll go on the internet and they'll Google us and say, oh, that looks like a good deliverance minister. Let me call this person or let me call that person. But God will bring you to that person to get delivered and to get set free. I wanted to go to Acts. And if you can turn to Acts 2 and 21, we got a lot of, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, I just want to touch on some. But Acts 2 and 21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, and I want you to take note of that word, whosoever, is not limited to your status quo or your color or your background or where you come from. He said, whosoever. You see what I'm saying? He said, shall call. Whosoever shall call. And when I looked up call, it says to invoke for aid, worship, testimony, appeal, call upon, surname. Who are we calling upon? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you look up the word saved, it means delivered. So when you call upon the Lord, you shall, it's not a might, he said you shall be delivered. Now if you're in a desperate situation, and I thought about Peter when he was walking on the water, and he began to sink, what did he do? He called upon the name of the Lord, and Jesus reached down and saved him. See, let's get our pride down, because sometimes we coming in so much pride that we want to do like the brother Naaman. He said, when he had the leprosy, he said, how many times do I need to? He said, go down to this particular pool and you dip 7 times. Well, he was so full of pride that he said, couldn't you have found another place, a better lake that I could dip in? See, we have to let our pride down, because, see, you need deliverance. You have to get out of that, I'm so big that I can only let this particular preacher lay hands on me. Well, how do you know if he got the anointing to do that? You better go where God send you. It might be that little raggedy church, and I remember coming up, there was a little red church in the back where the saints would be praising God. And that drew me into the power of God, because I knew that they could set me free and they could deliver me. No, I ain't been saved all my life. Now, I grew up in the church. I was around the church, but I had strayed away. But when you want deliverance, you don't care where you need to go to get deliverance. And that's why I say we have to humble ourselves. Humble yourself to get the deliverance. Okay, and then let's go over here to Romans 10:13. And I'm taking you through various accounts, because in our lives and in our situations, we all go through various things that we are dealing with. Amen. So go to Romans, and like I said, 10:13. And let me know when you have it. Amen. Romans 10:13. Here it is again. And see, you see how the Bible just correlate with, it'll go scripture, then it'll correlate with another scripture. Here it is. He say, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. God is reiterating this. He wants you to get the picture. You're not by yourself. Whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they believe, and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's where we come in at. Because what we're doing, the preachers of God, the ministers of God, is proclaiming the good news. We're bringing it to you. We're letting you know how to be set free. We're letting you know how to be saved, how to be sanctified, how to be delivered. Jesus did it all at the foot of the cross. All he wants you to do is receive it. And like Pastor Overton was saying earlier, it's by faith. It's by faith that you receive your deliverance. It's by faith that you walk in your victory. So I wanted to go over here to some of the, when I looked up deliverance, he said, save, to save or to protect, heal, preserve, do well, be made whole. That is why Jesus came, to set the captives free, to make you whole, to make you complete. God do not want you fragmented in your spirit. He wants you totally whole. He wants to set that whole man free, whatever had you captive, whatever had you bound up. This is what the Lord wants to do for you. Amen. So I wanted to, let's go to Daniel, and I wanted to bring that account. I know you say, well, I've heard about Daniel, but see, God gave me a little more insight on that, and I wanted to bring that out, because some of us, we are being persecuted for our faith, and this is what Brother Daniel was being persecuted for his faith. And a lot of times in the deliverance ministry or just in your walk with God, people will say things about you. People will come against you. Even relatives in your family will come against you. But we got to stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. It says Daniel 3, 14 through 18. And you know the whole script, whole chapter of Daniel, so I'm kind of skipping around here. He says, now, he said, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up before you. Well, see, they had came and accused these three brothers of not bowing down, worshiping this image. And you got to remember that in this day and time, we have a lot of idols that is set up, disguised, even in the church, idols that have delusionized God's people, and they think that they're doing what is of God, but they walk in and serving an idol. These three brothers were sold out for God, and this is how when the devil comes to you, and when he comes to you and he say, you're going to bow down and worship me, you got to take a stand firm. Stand firm. Stand steadfast. And say, no. And look him dead in his face and say, I am not going to bow down to you. I am not going to worship you. I don't care what you bring, what you try to bring up on my family, up on my home. See, we are in a spiritual war. We are in a battle. And that's what I was saying. Our children is at stake. Our finances is at stake. But here he says over here in Daniel 14, 18, he says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And I wanted to bring that out because Pastor Overton talked about the fiery darts. So you can use this and correlate that fiery furnace as some fiery darts in your life. But God will deliver you. Okay, let's go on over. Let's read some more. He said over here, I'm coming out of 15. I want to jump down here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, listen how they are. They are confident. You see what I'm saying? He say, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, fiery darts, okay? And he will deliver us out of thine hand. And see, this is what I'm saying. When you're going through something, you have to be assured that your God, our God, Jesus, will deliver us out of the fiery darts of the enemy. Whatever he is bringing upon us, God will deliver us. And then if you go over in Judges, where the children of Israel, they called out to God. They wanted a deliverer. God said, I sent you a deliverer. I sent you somebody that would deliver you. Because he seen the oppression of the children of Israel. They were being oppressed for 400 years. How many of us have been going through some things? How many of us are feeling like we're being oppressed? And we feel that there's no way out. God say, I've already sent you a deliverer. All you need to do is receive it. And then over here in Esther, when she called for her tribe to go on a three-day fast because they were being oppressed. They wanted to destroy the Jews. And she called them together. She said, go on a three-day fast. And this way, see, when you fasting and you praying, this breaks the back of the enemy. The enemy don't have any power. And that's what I tell people. If you're not getting your deliverance, go on a fast. Get your body sanctified. Get your body cleansed out so God can come in and get you set free. But she called for a three-day fast. And then when they went on that somebody, go on a fast. She called for a fast. And see, when you know without a shadow of doubt, when you start calling on God and when you set yourself aside, God will hear you because he's taking notice. He said, oh, they are serious about their deliverance. They're not just playing games. They want to be set free. They want to be delivered. So she called for a three-day fast. Then you go over here when we was talking about earlier about the oppression. That I see so many people in the church, and when they call you, they're oppressed, they're depressed. And I say, well, you go on to church, you're paying, you say, yes, ma'am, but I just can't break this spirit. It's the spirit of oppression, and it's coming up on God's people. And we are here today to let you know that those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be delivered. I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, and I see in this day and time, there's a lot of marriages under attack. He told me there's a spirit of Asmodeus. And Asmodeus, this is a marriage-breaking demon. And what he does, he'll come and he'll get between that husband and wife, and he'll take away that desire for that spouse, and he'll take the place of that spouse. So I said, what we have to do, church, we have to come against that spirit of Asmodeus. We have to break him down. My marriage has been attacked before. Your marriage has been attacked. But you have to stand your ground. You have to say, look, I'm going to stand for God. I don't care if you want to come, you can come. If you don't want to come, you can go. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. God took me over in the book of Job. When Job was oppressed on every side, Satan hit his finances. How many of you been dealing with some financial difficulty? Then the devil came and he took his children. Then he came and he touched his body. And then he came and touched that spouse. A lot of times when you're going forth in the ministry, he'll come through that person closest to you. He'll come through that husband or he'll come through that spouse. And all you can do sometimes is cry to God and say, God, I'm doing all you told me to do. What in the world is going on? But see, the devil want to get you to break down. He want to get you to crumble down. He want to get you to just surrender and wave the white flag and say, I give up. But to those who are struggling in your marriage, those who are going through with your children, see, I've been there. I'm telling you what I know. Because you got to stay on your face before the Lord. You got to speak the word over that situation. You got to speak the word over those children. You got to speak the word over those finances. And I guarantee something will move. When you begin to speak the word of God, you cannot tell me no devil in hell is going to flee. He said, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Resist him. And how do you do it? He came to Jesus. You resist him with the word of God. You speak the word of God. You read the word of God. You say, it is written. This is what the word said. The word says, my household shall be saved. The word says, my children will be saved. I don't care what devil in hell comes. I'm going to look you in your face. Because, see, God has already equipped us with that boldness. And we don't have to take down to the enemy. I remember when I was a kid and when I was coming up, you know, I was always a bold something, you know, in school, you know, and my mom, she would always say, Kathy, she barked loud, you know. But anyway, I remember this particular time, it was this young girl and she was like in the third grade and this bully, see, the devil is a bully, but she would come to this child every day. This girl was in the sixth grade and she was tormenting the little third grader. I didn't know the child. You know, I was just a sixth grader myself, but I thought I was, you know. But she would come and torment that girl every day. And the crowd would gather around her and be just rooting her on. And one day I got sick of her agitating this child. And I went to her and I said, you know what? I said, why are you picking on her? I said, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? That girl looked at me, and she backed down. But see, this is how you have to do the enemy. I cannot stand the enemy to bully people. I don't like to see people being tormented and oppressed and depressed, because that's how the devil gets his victory, because he likes to come and he likes to bully. So this is why I'm saying we have to be bold in the things of God. We need to stand our ground. We need to let the devil know, I'm not backing down to you. I don't care what you do. I'm going to stay on my word. I'm going to stay on my faith, and I'm going to see the results. And like I said, when our children was, you know, wayward teenagers, we made a pallet. We made an altar. And we would get on that altar every day. And we say, Lord, we speak the word over their life. Lord, we protect them. We ask that you put your angels around them. Sometimes we didn't know what they was doing, but the Lord knew. And God has restored them. He brought them back. They're grown men now, but God brought them back. But this is what I'm telling you. If your finances, if you're going through in your finances, speak to your finances, because, see, if you're doing what God told you to do, it's no reason in, well, I'm not going to say no reason in hell, but anyway, I wanted to bring out some scriptures that, and I was listening to Pastor Derek Prince, and this, I just want to read this of some reasons for not receiving deliverance. Derek Prince, he said he gives five common factors that hinder or frustrate complete deliverance. He explains and illustrates each. Lack of repentance. You must repent of all evil in your life. Turn away from all these things that submit yourself through Jesus Christ. This is repentance. And see, that's where the church, a lot of times, they miss it. And I have people telling me, well, I went through the sinner's prayer, but have you truly repented? Have you turned away from sin? Are you, you know, and I have a young girl, and I got to bring this out, because she brought me some pictures the other day of some orbs. I don't know if you guys know what orbs are, but these are energies. And she asked me, she said, what is this? And I say, they look like some type of demonic, and I mean, they are well pronounced. And I said, do you dabble in witchcraft? She said, no, we just like to play with zombie movies and stuff like that. I say, you've opened the door some type of way. I say, are you a believer? She say, well, in my own way. You see what I'm saying? Now, if she start getting tormented, she said, well, I guess they just passing through. This is just a portal that they're passing through. I say, no, they waiting to jump in somebody. You see what I'm saying? But they'll say, I repent in my own way. They have made their own righteousness. You see what I'm saying? He said, lack of repentance. You must repent of all evil in your life. Then turn away from these things and submit yourself to God through Jesus Christ. This is repentance. Then number two, lack of confession of sin, such as abortion, which is confessed as murder or adultery, which must be confessed to the other party in the marriage. Lack of forgiveness. There are people you haven't forgiven. This is a hindrance. Resentment harms. In one way, it does much more than one who is resenting. So when you harboring unrepentant resentment toward that person, you're really hurting yourself and that other person. That's why you have to release them. Turn them over to God. God know they hurted you. God know they've offended you. But release them. Say, Lord, I put them over in your hands. Because when they attack me, they're not attacking me. They're attacking the Spirit of God in you. He said, that's what you have to do. He said, then number four, lack of breaking the occult. What did I just tell you about the orb? Now, she telling me she loved zombie movies and she loved that Twilight thing. But she said, oh, these are just portals. See, they don't, out of ignorance, people open the door. And then they wonder, why do I have these things scratching me at night and biting me at night? Because you opened the door somewhere. He said, you want to hold on to a code book, a daily look at horoscopes, etc. So the devil has a hook in you. Dr. Prince tells about the origin of the fifth column. Look at 1 John 4:17. Can we say the same as Jesus? Satan has nothing in thee. Lack of determination. This is what I want to get to. You want someone else to do it for you. You don't want to read. You don't want to fast. You want everybody to do it. You want to, and that's why I say deliverance ministry is a labor of love. We labor with you, but there's some things you need to do to get your deliverance. He said, okay, he say, lack of determination. You want someone else to do it for you. Dr. Prince then deals with the topic of how do I keep my deliverance? He shares 7 points or ways and gives illustrations and examples of each. Make Jesus in every area of your life. Someone said, when the devil knocks at the door, I let Jesus answer. So that's how you deal with him, because he will come, but he's going to knock. But you say, look, I've been covered in the blood. God already covered me in this area. You can't bring lust back to me because I've been delivered. You can't bring depression to me, Satan, because I've been delivered. You can't bring lack in my finances because I've been delivered. You can't bring my kids in rebellion because they've been set free. You see what I'm saying? Because he will knock, but you got an answer for him. Let Jesus answer that door. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the initiator. How many people in the churches don't even speak on the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They act like this is something foreign. This is something back in the Bible days. This is what they say. But you need the Holy Spirit to battle the forces of the enemy. He said you must continuously be filled. The Holy Spirit is a demon flusher. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, listen to me. We can get you filled right now. It's a matter of just calling on the name of the Lord. We will get you filled with the Holy Ghost and the power. See, when I come up in the old church, I like to refer back to that because even though it was not scripture, the old saints would make us get on the altar and tarry. Now, we know we don't have to do that today, but you know why they would do that? Because of the determination. And sometimes we would get up there till 12, 1 in the morning, just tarrying. Oh, God, I want the Holy Ghost. That's how bad we wanted it. No matter what it took, we was willing to do it. We were willing to humble ourselves. If they say, well, fast tonight, tomorrow you're going to get the Holy Ghost, we would be fast. And I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, we had them old-time washing machines. Everything was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I could even hear the machine just going, Jesus, Jesus. But see, that's what I'm saying. We got to get back and let the Lord fill us. Fill us with his anointing. Fill us with his power. Okay, he said, and then this is where he said, live by God's word. This is your great primary weapon against the devil. If you don't know the word of God, how will you effectively fight the enemy? That is your sword. You need to know the word of God. He said, the only thing that really scares him is the word of God. When you say it is written, then he begins to back off because he know you know what you're talking about. When you say it is written, this is what the word of God says. Then he back, oh, they know they were. Didn't I tell you he's a bully? Didn't I tell you he pray up on the weak and the people who don't know the word? This is how he do. So if you sitting up bound up and depressed and oppressed, you don't know your word. You can't effectively fight the enemy. He said, put on the whole armor of God. There are 6 items of armor or equipment in Ephesians 6. He directs his attention to the helmet of salvation. Didn't he preach on that? And the 7th from Isaiah 61:3, the garment of praise. Cultivate right relationships. Deal with people as you would have them deal with you. He said, this is from Dr. Prince. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Submit to discipline. You are obligated to obey the laws of the country. You don't have any other option as a Christian. If God says in the word righteous living, that's what you need to do. Stop trying to make the word fit you and you fit the word. And that's what's wrong today. A lot of people saying, well, I don't believe God would have me to live like that, or I can't live like that, so I can keep my boyfriend on the side, and I can keep doing this on the side. God said, look, this is what the word of God says. He said, you don't have any other option as a Christian. You don't have an option. You don't have an option not to live right. This is your responsibility as a child of God. Make Jesus central. The devil loves the center of the stage. And a lot of times, even in deliverance, he'll act one way just to get that attention, to get you afraid of him. And if Hollywood have already jumped online, like the movie Brother Overton was talking about, this devil within, Hollywood already is capitalizing on that because they know it is some type of force. Now, they don't know how to deal with it in their own means, but we know is the power of Jesus Christ. He says the Holy Spirit advertises Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise his wonderful name. In closing, Dr. Prince has the people present, and he speaks prayers over them for deliverance. And so this is what we have to do. Pray over your deliverance. Seek the Lord for your deliverance. Call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be delivered. Pray over your family. Rebuke the enemy. He said, resist the enemy, and he shall flee from you. I had a few deliverance scriptures, and I just want to, you know, I'm not going to read them all, but these are just some scriptures you can use in reference to what you're going through. This is in Colossians 1:13-15, deliverance scriptures. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So if you have, or if you covered in the blood of Jesus, Satan has no legal rights in your life. He cannot come and take you without God. He cannot do any harm to you, but you got to stand your ground. Ephesians 2:13-16. But now in Christ Jesus, we, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself a twain, one new man, and making peace. So when you learn these scriptures, and there are so many more, you just start speaking these scriptures in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Psalms 110:170, made my application come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold. Matthew 18:3, I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalms 22:8, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Psalms 25:20, guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. I'm sorry. We got to get used to this. Psalm 31:1, for the direct, you know, and this is part of live television. We're coming live. All right, Psalms 32:7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the sons of deliverance. And I wanted to also bring out in Psalms, I think it's 34:17 or 18:19, where he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. So whatever you're going through, just know this, saints, and I'm going to get out your way. God is our refuge. God will deliver us. Call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, we are deliverance ministries, and we are here to help you. But let the Lord do what he needs to do in your life. Amen? Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see, the desperate gets delivered. Now, when we say desperate, let's get into that a little bit, because she really brought it out very well. I'm just going to add a little bit to it. But this says, when we say desperate, that's is exactly what the word means. It means cause to despair, one that is desperate. You're in a hopeless situation, frail, feeble, melancholy, you're desperate. Isaiah 17:11, wicked, you're incurable, sick, you're in a woeful state. That's Jeremiah 17:9. Now, think about this. We're saying that the desperate get delivered. Now, we know who our deliverer is. Our deliverer is Jesus Christ. He will set us free from every infirmity. But you see, people of the Most High God, there's something that we have to do. Now, when you get desperate, they used to say, when you get desperate enough, or when you get hungry enough, when you get hungry enough, you'll eat just about anything. That is the same way when you're talking about the things of the Spirit. When you get desperate enough, you'll do just about anything to get set free. Now, the sad thing about it in this day and time, people get desperate, and instead of going to the Lord, they go to cults. They go to witchcraft. They go to Satanism. They go to everything except what they should go to, who is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can truly set you free and get you out of your desperate situation. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to you and how Jesus deals with desperations and how we should deal with our desperate state. All of us, before we come to Jesus Christ, is in a desperate state. Because when you're under the bondage and torment of sin, under the torment of sickness, under the torment of disease, under the torment of oppression or possession, demonization, you're desperate. You need some help. And the only way you're going to get that help is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But look at what you need to do, though. Because one thing I'd like to say to all of you out there that's listening is this. God, Christ, the Holy Ghost, is not going to go against your will. He's not going to heal you. He's not going to deliver you. He's not going to even save you if you don't want it. Ooh. He's not going to go against your will. But if you're out there in the world and you're not saved, the devil will do it. The devil will take you. He will steal you. The devil will go against your will. He cares nothing about you. The devil doesn't love you. The devil is nothing but hate. He don't even understand love. Only thing he knows is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's it. That's all the Satan. That's all Satan and the devils and demons. That's all they are about. Don't fool yourself. You think that them things care about you? They care nothing about you. The only thing they want to do is see you destroyed. That's it. The enemy only wants to see you destroyed. Remember that. Just destroyed. That's all the devil wants to do to you. And he'll give you anything to destroy you. Money, women, men, cars, houses, and he'll do anything to get you in a state of desperation to the point where he can destroy you. Now, listen to this here. Now, Jesus, he can heal all manner of diseases, Matthew 14:34-36. And when you're diseased, you're in a desperate situation. Matthew 14:34, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now, you see what happened? These men did something. They got in a state where they acted on what they knew. And they brought the people to Jesus. Nobody could tell them not to. They brought the people to Jesus. They said, "Count into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased." Now look at this. Listen at this. "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." What are we talking about? We're talking about the desperate getting delivered. Now how do you get delivered? You got to do something. You have to do something. You can't just pray and not act on your prayer. If you want to get delivered, if you want to get set free, if you want to get saved, if you want to get filled, you're going to have to put some action to your prayer. You're going to have to get desperate enough to move on the Word of God. And when you move on the word of God, when you move toward Jesus Christ, he will deliver you. He will get you out of your desperate situation. He will heal you. As many as just touch the hem of his garment, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, by them touching the hem of Jesus' garment, that meant they had to put themselves to a low degree. That pride had to go. That pride had to go. That self-adoration had to go. They had to lower themselves. They had to get to a low degree. They were desperate enough that they were willing to get down to touch the hem of our Lord and Savior's garment, and when they did that, all of them were made perfectly whole. Now, one thing I want to bring out. The scripture said they were made perfectly whole. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God doesn't have to do anything. So if you're desperate, if you need to get set free, you can go to the Lord, and just like what I just read to you, you will be made perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. There won't be any leftovers of a ailment. There won't be any leftovers of a disease or infirmity. The Lord ain't going to have get a spirit out of you. It's going to be totally taken out. I'm going to go somewhere else. Matthew 17:14-21. Now Jesus healed all manner of diseases, and he can heal demoniacs. Let me read this to you. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, he's desperate. He's desperate. He got down on his knees. And he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. He's sorely vexed. Oftentimes he's fallen into the fire and off into the water. This man was in a truly desperate situation. He couldn't get any help. He tried, but he could not get any real help for his son. Now listen to this. The man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now look, the man was desperate. There was no hope for his son. His son was a lunatic and had been a lunatic for a while. The demon spirit vexed his son, trying to kill him, throwing him into the fire and into the water. And the man came to Jesus' disciples, but they couldn't do anything for him. That he was asked, he had some confidence in the disciples of Christ, but they couldn't do anything for him. Now imagine that. You have confidence and someone to set you free. And you go to that person, and he can't do anything for you. I can imagine your heart sinking to your feet. That's going to be a major letdown. But the man didn't say, well, his disciples couldn't do it, and his disciples is listening to Jesus, so I guess I just forget it then. No, he didn't say that. He turned right around and went to Jesus himself. And Jesus rebuked that thing, and the thing came out of him that very hour. That young man was set free. As desperate as he was, our Lord and Savior set him free that very hour. Now check this out. The disciples came to Jesus a little later, apart, away from everybody, and they asked the Lord, say, why could we not cast this thing out, Jesus? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, when you get desperate, you'll do some things that you generally would not do. Now, Jesus said, you need to fast and pray on some situations in your life. When you get desperate enough, sometimes you're going to have to push some food away and pray and fast and do whatever it takes to get set free. When you're desperate, you'll do whatever it takes to get free. That's why the desperate get delivered, because nothing stops them from their salvation. Nothing stops them from their healing. Nothing stops them from their deliverance. They're desperate. They have no other way. There's no hope for them other than Christ Jesus. Then when you get to that state in your life, people of the Most High God, the Lord will answer you. He will answer you. He will set you free. He will deliver you. He will save you. He will bring you out of that horrible, hopeless situation that you're in. But you got to get desperate enough to seek the Lord. Don't seek nothing. Don't seek anything else. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get that kind of desperation, for nothing can hinder you. Nothing can stop you. Think about that. Now look, it's plenty of people all through the scripture, all through the world, that were in such desperate situations, nobody can help them. They go to doctors, they go to lawyers, they go to all these different people, and these people cannot help them. They're desperate, but when they turn to the Lord, they get something that they can't get from anyone else or from anywhere else. They get delivered. They get set free. The desperate get delivered. That's just it. That's just it. The desperate get delivered. Matthew 20, 29 through 34, Jesus deals with the sight of men. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Now the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They got Jesus' attention. They were desperate. They were tired of being blind. They wanted to see. They wanted to see the truth. They wanted to see where they were blind. They were desperate. Nobody could help these two blind men. They probably saw doctors, eye doctors. Nobody could help them. They were desperate. They were tired of being blind. So what did they do? When they heard that Jesus was coming by, they cried out. They didn't care anything about what the crowd was saying. The crowd was telling them to shut up. Shut up. Shut up. What you hollering about? They were so desperate, they said, "Hey, man, we don't care anything about you telling us to shut up. We're crying out to the Lord. We want to see. We want to get set free. We're tired of being bad. We're desperate. We're desperate. We want to see." And that got Jesus' attention. And when it got Jesus' attention, he asked him a question. He said, What do you all want me to do for you?" And they said unto the Lord, "That our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And what happened after they saw? They followed the Lord. They followed him. But you see, they were desperate enough that they didn't pay attention to the opposition that they got from the crowd. Saints of the Most High God, don't be turned around by the crowd. Don't be stopped by what somebody else is saying when it comes to your deliverance. when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your healing, when it comes to you being delivered from oppression and depression. Don't let the crowd dictate to you when you need something from the Lord. When you're desperate to receive something from the Lord, press on. Press on. Get it. Use that desperation to make an appeal to the Lord to be set free. The desperate get delivered. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to take that, turn it the other way. But you can't allow that to happen. You can't allow that to happen. You have to persist and pursue the things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because it is God's will that you be set free. It is God's will that you be made whole. It is God's will that you be saved. It is God's will that you be filled with the Spirit. It is God's will that you have that anointing. It is God's will that you have power. It is God's will that you have victory over everything that the enemy will try to throw at you. It's God's will for you, sisters and brothers. It's God's will. But sometimes things are not easy. Sometimes you might get in a desperate strait. But when you get in that desperate strait, then that's when you know that God is going to set you free, that God is going to step into that mess and bless you. But you have to be persistent. You have to have faith. Faith and long-suffering and temperance, they go together. They're like buddies. You know, they're like buddies. They go together. So you have to exercise that. Now, I'm going to read to you Mark 1:23-28. And this is another person that's in a desperate situation. When you're being oppressed or you're demonized, you're desperate. You need help, and you need it quick. You need it quick and fast and in a hurry. Now, Mark 1:23-28, it says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Now, this man here was sitting up in the synagogue or the church with the unclean spirit. Now, he was in a desperate situation. You kind of bad off when you're sitting up in the church demonized. Folks don't even know it, but you know it. And you know that you need to be set free. You're in a desperate situation. But when you come into the presence of the Most High God, when you come in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God begins to move, your desperate situation is getting ready to be healed. And the Lord will set you free. But you got to step out of your comfort zone. You have to step out of your pride zone. You have to step out of what you think other people will think of you. And you need to be desperate enough to do just like what these people have done and break through that. And when you do, God will meet you. When you do, he will set you free. Look, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like he did that, what we're reading about, he'll do the same thing today. But you got to get desperate enough to do what it takes to be set free. You have to get desperate enough to seek the Lord. If it takes getting on your knees and praying, that's what you need to do. If it takes going somewhere and getting delivered, if it takes reading your Bible, if it takes praying and fasting, you need to be desperate enough to do that. And the Lord will set you free. One thing about it, when you seek him, you'll find him. And he will work it out for you. Now I'm going to read something else. Mark 1:30-34. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto him. And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now, these people, they did something. They brought people from miles around to Jesus. They were in a desperate state, and they did whatever it took. They did whatever it took to get their deliverance. They did whatever it took to get healed of their sicknesses. They did whatever it took to be delivered of their infirmities. They did whatever it took to get those devils cast out of them. They did whatever it took to be set free, because the desperate get delivered. The desperate get delivered. Oh, my Lord. I'm just reading to you and bringing out to you all these people who were of a desperate state. There was a desperate state of mind, of body, soul. They were desperate, and no one else could help them. If Jesus wasn't there, they possibly could have died. If Jesus weren't there, they possibly would have lost their mind. If Jesus weren't there, they possibly would have went their whole life bound by the devil, or blind, broken of body and soul. But Jesus was there. And despite their desperation, despite their inabilities, they made their way to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's the same today. You're desperate. You need something that no man or woman can do for you. No doctor, no lawyer can help you. You're desperate. You're desperate. You're desperate. Some of you might be even considering, you're so desperate, you might even be considering taking your own life. But don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Our Lord and Savior can set you free. Call on him. Turn to him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. He will not let you down. He will not let you down. He's waiting on you. Now I'm going to read something else to you. Mark 1:40-45. Now Jesus is a healer. He's a deliverer. He can heal things that's uncurable. Our Lord and Savior can handle it. Mark 1:40-45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now this man was truly desperate. Because I don't think there's a cure for leprosy now. So this man was in a totally desperate state. He was about to leave here. And he said, saying unto him, If thou wilt, Jesus, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, not the next hour, not the next day, immediately that leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and Jesus straightway charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could do no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You see, this man had leprosy. He was desperate, but he got delivered because he got to the Lord. Some of you out there, the only thing you need to do is get to the Lord. That's all you need to do. The only thing you need to do is seek Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do. Believe on him, and he will set you free. I'm reading the scriptures to you. The same thing that he did then, he can do it now. And I'm going to go to another man that's truly desperate. He needed some help, and he needed it bad. Mark 5:2-13. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. The man was so possessed by devils and demons that every time they put a chain on him, he just burst it like it was spaghetti, burst it like it was just tissue paper or something, just broke it like it was nothing. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was untamable. They could not do anything with this man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd went violently down a steep place into the sea, for there was about 2,000 swine, and were choked in the sea. Now, here's a man with about 2,000 devils in him. He couldn't get these things out of him. Now, he was in the tombs, out there in the tombs, hollering, screaming, cutting himself with stones. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could chain him. Nobody could do anything with this demoniac. But somewhere deep down within this man, and when Jesus came around these spirits, they came to him. Now, I would say this. Now, those devils, they really didn't want to leave this man. Because what demons desire to do, they desire to get in people. Because when they get in people, that's how they manifest themselves. That's how they live. They're like parasites. So what they want to do is possess people so they can live and manifest themselves. But the end result, like a parasite, is the death of the host. So these spirits was designed to destroy this man. When Jesus came around, they had to let him go. The man was in a desperate state. But the spirit of that man, that the real part of this man, wanted to be set free. He was in a totally desperate situation. He wanted to be set free. He didn't want to be demonized. He didn't want to be out there cutting himself. He didn't want to be out there in the tombs. The man was out of his mind. But you see later on that when Jesus cast the spirits out of him, the scripture says later on that he clothed himself and he was in his right mind. And the scripture also said that he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I got a greater work for you. I want you to go back home and tell what I did for you. Because you were in a desperate situation. You were lost. You were bound. But I set you free. Go tell somebody else. And that's what he did. See, Jesus has the power. Our Lord and Savior has the power to bring you out of the most desperate situation you could ever get in. But in your desperation, saints, seek the Lord. Don't take your life. Don't drug yourself out. Don't fall into a bottle of alcohol. Don't get hooked on coke and all those other drugs that's going to get you in a deeper, in a more desperate situation than what you're already in. Seek the Lord, and he can set you free. And he will set you free. Now let me read something else to you here. Mark 5:21-24. Here's a man, another man, in another desperate situation. Now many of you are not as desperate as these people, but you do have a sense of desperation where you need help and nobody can do it but the Lord. Nobody can do it but the Lord. And only thing he's doing is waiting on you to call him, waiting on you to reach out to him, waiting on you to step into his presence, and he will truly set you free. Mark 5:21-24 reads, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. See, Jairus was desperate. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Jesus, I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. He believed. He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, this man was in a desperate situation. Now, it said he was a ruler of the synagogue, so that meant that he had some prestige. That meant that he probably had some money. And that also meant that he probably had contacted some doctors before. But they couldn't do anything for his daughter. She was still dying. So the man was desperate. He was desperate. Nobody could help him. So what did he do? He found the Lord. And he went to the Lord and he asked the Lord to pray for him. And Jesus was on his way. Now when Jesus got to the man's house, Mark 5:35-43, let's see what our Lord and Savior found. Now, Jesus said, while the man yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now, no doubt, when they told this man that his daughter was dead, his heart about sank. And they told him, don't, you know, there's no need to even trouble the master any further. He don't even need to come to the house because your daughter's dead, man. She's dead. So, you know, there's no need for the Lord Jesus to come. But then as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Now, some of you out there, you're full of fear. But I'm saying to you, just like what Jesus said here, believe. Only believe. Believe that Jesus can get you out of that desperate situation you're in, and you can be delivered and set free. Believe. 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 And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When Jesus told them that the child wasn't dead, but sleeping, they got a big laugh out of that. That was funny to them. Because they saw the girl die. They knew she was dead. The doctor probably took her pulse. There's no pulse here. She's not breathing anymore. But Jesus said the girl was just sleeping. And they laughed at the Lord. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now look, the man was in a totally desperate situation. The daughter was in a totally desperate situation. And when you're dead, you can't get any more desperate than that. But even though they were in this desperate situation, nobody can bring you back from the dead but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he did it. But he told the man something. He said, believe. Brothers and sisters of the Most High God and anyone out there that's listening, in your desperate state, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will do for you what he did for these people here. He will set you free even to the point of getting you, bringing you from death to life. Some of you out there, you're dead in your spirit. Some of you out there, you're dead in your mind. All your hopes, all your dreams have been dashed. They're dead. But Jesus Christ can bring them back to life. But you have to believe, and you have to trust in him. You have to reach out to him. You have to do whatever you need to do to be set free and to be healed. If it even means calling into this calling line, 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. Jesus can do it for you. He can set you free. Your desperation is not so bad that Jesus can't deal with it. And we know desperation, desperate means in a hopeless situation. Nobody can help you, but Jesus can. Jesus can. He can do it, saints. He can do it, people of the Most High God. You need saving? You need salvation? You need to be set free from demonic oppression? You need to be set free from oppression, depression? You need to be healed? Jesus can do it. He is our deliverer. That's why he came. That's why he lived. That's why he was born. That's why he was crucified. That's why he died. And that's why he was resurrected on the third day, so that you can be set free, so that you can be delivered. We have a few minutes left. If someone wants to call in on our guest call-in line, 323-375-0849, feel free to call in. And right now we want to just thank all our listeners to our internet radio program. And we would like to say to you, God wants you to be set free. That's what God wants. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants you to be set free. He doesn't want you to stay in that desperate situation of hopelessness that you're in. He's waiting on you. Only thing you have to do is reach out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will set you free. If you have a desire to call in, 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. We have about eight minutes left. If anybody has a prayer request, we'll be more than happy to pray with you in these last few minutes. And if not, we're going to close out our program on tonight. We want to thank all of you for listening and tuning in to our internet program, radio program. And we want you to know that God can deliver you, and he can set you free. We're going to let you listen to some music. We're going to close out, and I'd like to say a prayer, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All those out there who are listening, and all those out there who are in a desperate situation, Father God, touch them that they would call on and reach out to you, Lord, so that you can deliver them and set them free. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let your word go forth, touch, heal, deliver, and set free. Let it be revelation made to them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Behold, be set free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And we look forward to hearing you tuning in on our next program this coming Friday night at 8 o'clock. We want to meet you there. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Here's some music coming up.
Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die, so your people can hear it.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around, when I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh at a cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave? Keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil can steal my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tempted, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing makes them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great, it's Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die, gotta die. Where the battle is in our minds, is it hard to find? In these end times, brothers is dying, doing senseless crimes, marching with death, blindly the blind. Got they taste of nine in the street life. Is hell on earth? Look at the signs, forgot about Christ. Now people crying, living in the flesh, lovers of lust. Who can you trust with your life? Don't live for Jesus, so you the antichrist. It's spiritual, way more real and it's natural. You can't fake it, living this life just like the Matrix. Is it breathtaking, spiritual? Whoa, am I from dope? I can't fake it. If you ready to ride, just let me know. I ain't playing no games, brother Jesus. Hold on my veins, word of pain, serving you is a must. Ain't a shame, through with the game. Stop playing Kane. What did I gain? 380 to my brain. Made a brother want to change. Got a second chance, chosen to my father's name. Preaching to the poor and fame, taking a lane. Gotta remain, spread the word to all nations. Keeping my patience, can't be deceived by Satan. No debating, facing stressful situations. Straight contemplating, gotta keep my head up, cause it's all in the making. Feel your Holy Spirit touch, never left alone. Deep in my bones, fighting till we take us on. We ain't never alone, never alone, never alone, never alone. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die, gotta die. In the spirit to the flesh is dead, destroying walls, built from lies, got people misled. They chasing money, filled with greed, serving the God of mammon. False doctrines being spread as they deliver the sermon. I see people with itchy ears, they enjoy the lies. And if it ain't about money, then it ain't about Christ. It's like rub God's belly, you get a surprise. Be careful of false prophets dressed in a pretty disguise. Friend lines in the pulpit, unscheduled folks die. But I'm doing a new thing, are you ready to ride? Revival is breaking out, flames of holy fire. Revival is breaking out, flames of holy fire. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die, gotta die. So the people can hear it.